Beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful. a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, Hallelujah. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Jesus Christ. We beseech thee, inasmuch as the world cannot endure such testimony and persecutes us in every way, grant us courage and comfort that we may not be offended because of the cross, but continue steadfastly in thy testimony and be found always among those who know thee and thy Son, until we obtain eternal salvation through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Amen. The Old Testament lesson for Exaudi, the Sunday after Ascension, is found in the 32nd chapter of Isaiah, the 14th through the 20th verse. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left. The forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are they that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the fourth chapter of 1 Peter, the 7th through the 11th verse. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. Hallelujah. I will not leave you comfortless. I go and I will come again to you, and your heart shall rejoice. Hallelujah. Chapter of John, verse 26, through the 16th chapter, verse 4. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 226. Mercy and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is found in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man do run a race. His going forth is from the end of the earth, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Here ends our lesson. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, even so, let the meditations of our heart be acceptable unto thee as we hear thy word and receive thy Son, Jesus Christ, to our salvation. Amen. Redeemed of the Lord, this Sunday is a time of waiting. Waiting on the promise of the Spirit of God who will do his work. Waiting for the gospel to reach every part of the world. Waiting for our Savior to complete the work which his Spirit has begun in us. And therefore we consider Psalm 19 a promise concerning the gospel, which will burst forth upon the earth like the sun, travel around the entire world so that its rays will lighten every land, every place where any speech or words are heard at all. How fitting that the gospel should be described as the sun. For the gospel is a glorious light. By the sun, God gives life to the earth and sustains it. The sun provides warmth and energy. Every herb and tree uses its light to produce fruit, which feeds every creature of the earth, including man. That alone is a glorious thing. For the heavens are a wondrous and constant declaration of the glory and mercy of our God. But the glory here spoken by King David is much greater than the natural glory of creation, for it is the glory of heaven itself, which is sent out from the throne of God to encompass the earth, casting forth not heat and light, but wisdom and comfort. The word of God is now, in our day, being declared from the heavens, from the throne of the Son of Righteousness, as Micah calls him, who arises with healing in his wings. The Son of God and the glorious gospel, which gives light in every place where men have words and speech, are one and the same. For the gospel is his voice, converting the soul, making wise the simple, rejoicing the heart and enlightening the eyes. Even so, let us receive this light and wait upon the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ in that final burst of majesty, which shall bring to an end the age of this world and usher in everlasting righteousness and eternal life. Therefore, let us consider this beautiful psalm and learn of that light. Luther taught that this psalm speaks of the gospel, and he is right. In divine poetry, the psalm first puts forward a picture of creation, and then it explains it spiritually. And what a picture it is, for it fixes in our mind this truth, that God's word is not just words that fall to the ground, because his Spirit is there, the Spirit of power and might. Therefore, he compares it not to the moon, which only reflects the glory of God, but to the sun, which shines with its own light and power. For such is the word of our God. For his Spirit, though unseen, has all of his glory and power. And if the eyes of man could be opened to see the true nature of the Holy Scriptures, no one would ever take the word of God for granted again, for it would shine with the light of 1,000 suns. In the heavens there is order. When we look up at the night sky, we do not see chaos. We see structure. evidence of God's wisdom. The stars proclaim his knowledge. A universe of chance and chaos could not have such laws and such beauty. Isaiah 40:26 declares, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number, that calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth." But even the revelation of the heavens has its limits. For only God's word can reveal his hidden wisdom to men. And only his word contains that wisdom in particular, which is the way of salvation. Therefore, the psalm turns to the substance of the picture which it has laid before us. And it applies that glory of God to his word. And so it continues, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." As in most of the Old Testament, the word for law is Torah. It means instruction, the knowledge which God has granted to his people in the form of his word. And therefore it is more than the commandments and ordinances. It is more than the threat of God's terrible wrath against sinners. Greater than this, it is also the overwhelming comfort of God's mercy, where he promises to forgive the sins of the penitent, to make them adopted sons and daughters, and to share his glory with them for eternity. Both those doctrines of his word, but particularly his mercy, are necessary and required to do what the law here says it does, convert the soul. That is, his whole word, law and gospel, instructs us in the ways of salvation. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. A simple-minded man is one who cannot be taught things that are too complex. Even with much instruction, he would never learn enough to be wise. But the testimony of man has limits. But not so God's testimony. He can make wise the simple. Little children are by nature simple. When they are small, they do not learn the complex things. But in the Lord, they have great wisdom. His testimony makes them wise beyond all the wise men of the world. So it is that the word of God can teach even the most simple-minded. Things like the meaning of life itself, the purpose of man in the world, the knowledge of the true God, and of his nature that he is gracious. The things that happen after death are plainly understood even by little children. For all these things, which confound the scholars and thinkers of our day, are clearly revealed even to the children by the word of God. His spirit removes any doubt that would prevent the wisdom from taking hold upon their hearts. By his baptism, he reaches even into those hearts who cannot comprehend human speech. He teaches the simple to trust in Jesus, their Savior, and simply to believe his word. For this is true wisdom. Though to the world it is the epitome of foolishness. May we all be so simple-minded as to believe the testimony of the Lord with all our heart. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. What man can rejoice in the commandments of the Lord but he whose sins are forgiven, that he might fear the Lord with a pure and a clean heart forever? It was the judgment of God to send his Son, the righteous one, into the world so that in God's wisdom he would perform all those statutes and commandments which God required of men. In him, that which once struck terror into our hearts now gives us reason to rejoice. For every statute of the Lord is good and holy. And we are holy and good in Christ Jesus, who has kept them in our stead. Yes, this judgment of the Lord by which he declares us to be righteous in his Son is the most precious judgment of all. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. So is the knowledge of Jesus in our mouths. The word which he speaks by his Spirit are sweet and more precious than the finest gold. We need these words constantly and desperately, particularly when we are here in this world surrounded by temptation. Sweet also become those words which warn us, for they remind us that we cannot for a moment think to live in this world apart from the word of God's Spirit. And therefore we learn to grasp them like we might grasp a lifeline that keeps us from drowning. For if we lay hold upon them and treasure them and keep them, there shall be great reward, that reward of eternal righteousness which cannot fade away. But still, Lord, do we desperately need this word, because even apart from our own sins, there are enemies of the Son of God who cannot bear his light. After Jesus ascended, his disciples obeyed his word to await the coming of the Spirit in Jerusalem. The Spirit would prepare them to carry the gospel to the entire world and so fulfill the words of our psalm. They would be the first to bear that light everywhere, so that like the sun which circles the earth every day, there would be no place where the light of the gospel would not shine. And yet as that light would go forth, not all would be light for them. The enemies of Christ are many, and they cannot stand the light of God's truth. For it reveals every secret sin and every heresy. They hide in darkness, and they find the darkness to be like light to them. They, as if it were possible, bask in darkness, for the love of their wickedness fills them, as the direct antithesis of the gospel which fills us with love of righteousness and truth. Jesus told his disciples that the enemies of the gospel would strike out against the ministers of Christ who bore that light. So utterly depraved would they be in their own hearts that they would believe that God himself embraced their darkness, and that they would be doing him a service by killing Jesus' disciples. We are reminded once more of the words of Jeremiah: the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it indeed? For even the children of God must remember that their own hearts are just as wicked. And so our psalm declares, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. We have learned from the Spirit of God that his holy law only condemns us. It cannot save us. It cannot give to us the holy life which it demands. And yet, we can also well say that also this law is more to be desired than gold and sweeter than the finest honey. For thereby we learn of our secret faults. There our hidden sin is revealed in the light. We who have been given a foretaste of the fruits of eternal life do not want to lose it. We do not want to have this precious salvation slip through our fingers. For the heart, deceitful as it is, would, if it was not constantly pierced and prodded by the law of God, deceive us once more into complacency, into carnality, and bit by bit into unbelief. Therefore, Paul declares, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Particularly in these days of heresy and violence, when we see the words of Jesus fulfilled as his disciples are persecuted, we need both that stern warning and also the warming comfort of his Son of righteousness, who forgives us our sins and who speaks peace into our hearts. We need the warning lest the wickedness of the world draw us away, we need especially his enduring comfort, which assures us that he is still a God who loves sinners, and he mercifully invites us still into his kingdom. Therefore, let the rays of his word penetrate your heart, make you wise, and purify your thoughts, that we each might be able to say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, accept the gifts we bring unto thee and make them fruitful in the work of thy kingdom. Amen. Almighty God, our light and our salvation, we praise thee for thy manifold works of love and mercy toward all the children of men, but especially for the gift of thine only begotten Son, to whom thou gavest triumphant ascension into heaven to sit upon thy right hand, far above all principalities and powers, and a name that is above every name, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. We thank thee that thou hast thus crowned him with glory for his perfect life, his loving obedience, his innocent suffering, and his redeeming death. As thou hast raised him as king over all the earth and head over all the church, may we also confess that he is the true Lord of our hearts and the only Savior of men. O God, may thy Holy Spirit comfort and strengthen us by the light of heavenly truth. Teach us of thy manifold grace in Jesus, and lead us into the paths of brotherly love and fervent charity. And because thou hast ordained it that those who live in Christ should also endure suffering for his name's sake, grant us by thy Spirit to be steadfast in our faith, that our hearts may be fixed constantly on the hope of eternal life. Give unto thy ministers the mind of the Spirit, that Christ may be confessed with all faithfulness, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only power unto salvation. Give thy blessing to all parents, that they may be wholesome examples to their children in love toward thee, and in usefulness to thy church and to all men. Pour out thy Spirit upon our nation, that our people may serve thee in all godliness and honor. Bestow thy blessing on all who labor with mind or hand, that they may work with diligence and honesty, and receive the just reward of their toil. Hear the prayers of all the afflicted. Grant unto them strength and hope in the assurance of thy love, thy power, and thy nearness. now as we go, depart from this house of prayer. We give glory unto Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We sing hymn number 267. God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples, and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that he might make us partakers of his divine nature. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Amen.
Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. That of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 47. make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.